Amen. Thanks, Zach. Oh. Sort out my bits. Wow.
We love being part of this church. Misty and I, as I said, we got here like 6 months ago, landing in Sheffield. We knew one person in Sheffield. We just felt God was calling us onto a new adventure, away from Guildford, where we'd been for the last 12, 13 years. And we pitched up in Sheffield, like I say, not knowing anyone. We turned up with a moving lorry, and unbeknownst to us, a mutual friend had got Mike and Pippa to be on our driveway to help us unpack our van. Like we didn't know anyone, and yet they turned up and helped us unpack. It's quite a church growth strategy. If you see anybody moving into your road with a van, go and help them unload. But no, seriously, it's been really great to get to know you over the last 6 months, and we're looking forward to get to know more of you in the months and years to come. We love the way that you pray. We love your hospitality. We love your heart for justice. So yeah, just thank you. Right, enough of that. So as I said, my name's Scott, and I get to lead a charity called CSW. We work with religious minorities, including many churches all around the world. This morning, what I wanted to do is, in a minute, I'll play a short introduction video, because otherwise you hear too much of me. Then I'll talk to you a little bit about the work of CSW and why we do what we do. Then we will get into some lessons that I've personally found encouraging from the church worldwide, especially those that are experiencing persecution. And then I'll throw out some examples of what that work might look like in some different countries around the world. Is that okay with everybody? Good. Right. Let's see if we can make this work and play a video.
Next time you go to church or pray with others in your home, remember that most people around the world don't enjoy that same freedom.
So they say, just collect your belongings. We must put her far from the city so she can't pray, she can't do anything.
She was gonna want to have more. One is Gula, Mushila, can you want to school again? I'll more while standing more.
Before then, the church has been burnt several times, and there was no time there was a riot in the state, or I mean, there was any religious violence, that the church was not touched.
Yo estaba hablando de que hay un reino que no soporta el gobierno ni las dictaduras.
They have two options, you know, or kill me or put me in jail.
Freedom of religion or belief is an issue that affects so many in so many different ways.
Some Christian children have to change their names into Muslim names in order to get to school. Or in some cases, they have to leave their homes, leave their parents, and go to other states and stay with other families in order to get to school.
I come from school. Where's your dad? Well, he is in jail right now.
Que había una orientación desde el gobierno de que a mí se me tratara de la peor manera que se puede tratar a un ser humano. Había toda clase de tortura física y mental en contra mía.
When he beat you with this stick, you feel the whole your body fire. They know where is the nerves.
For over 40 years, CSW has been a powerful voice for freedom of religion or belief. At the UN, with the UK and US governments, the European Union, we speak to those with power to bring about change.
We've seen captives set free, and we've seen policy change that has affected thousands, if not millions, of people's lives around the world.
As Christians, we stand with everyone facing injustice because of their religion or belief.
We've been advocating on behalf of the displaced Rohingya Muslims in Burma since 2005. And that's way before most of the world had even heard of their plight. Why do we do that? We do it because that's what Jesus would do.
I believe that it is our responsibility as an organization to speak out for all religious groups, not just Christians.
Còn khi mình làm việc cho những người không chưa cùng tin với mình thì để cho họ thấy được rằng là mình là người tin Chúa, thì họ thấy được cái đức tin của mình và qua công việc của mình họ sẽ biết đến Chúa của mình.
We believe that advocacy and prayer are a powerful combination.
Porque aun cuando yo no estaba orando con toda la intensidad que necesitaba por la condición en que yo me encontraba.
And in the morning I was released.
Es que fue la oración la que me salvó la vida.
Và nhờ sự cầu nguyện của anh chị em, Chúa đã hành động cứu tôi ra khỏi Việt Nam.
Join us in building a movement for religious freedom. And together we can change many more lives.
I love that video, and I like showing it mainly because the people you see on there are my friends. These are people that I know and love from around the world. Yunusa is a colleague of mine in Nigeria. Helen is on our board. Pastor Omar, I spent 2 weeks with traveling around the UK. They're my friends, dear, dear people. So, there we go. So CSW, we are a Christian human rights organization speaking up for ethnic and religious minorities all around the world. We're a specialist advocacy organization, so probably 90% of our work would be advocacy. We do a bit of aid work around the side of that, especially in places like Nigeria where we work on front lines there. But like I say, 90% of our work is advocacy. Desmond Tutu talked about advocacy like this. He said, there comes a point when we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. And that's what we do. We conduct in-depth research and analysis in like 25, 30 countries around the world. We take that evidence to places like the United Nations and Brussels and London, and we demonstrate what's happening in those countries. We work on behalf of partners all around the world, and we seek change. We do that in kind of two ways. So either it's for specific individuals who've been detained, arrested, imprisoned for because of their beliefs, or we work on kind of long-term regime change, which is a bit harder. We were the first organization, for instance, to really break the story of what was happening to Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang in China, and we've been working on North Korea before. We started work on North Korea before anybody else did. Anyway, we do that kind of thing. As we said in that video, we're a Christian organization. I think one of our uniquenesses is that we work on behalf of all ethnic and religious minorities, not just Christians. We're a distinctly Christian organization, but we believe that we should speak up for all, no matter what their beliefs are. We started out just working for Christians, and then when I had my interview for CSW, which is 9 years ago almost now, I was asked that interview and said, Scott, we don't just work for Christians. Is that okay with you? And I said, yes, absolutely. And then I said, why is that okay with you? And it's a bit of a slightly more difficult question. And it was like, that's what I would see Jesus doing. That's what Jesus would do, right? We then went on quite a flippant answer, if I'm honest. It was very intuitive. It's what Jesus would do, right? That then really took us on this journey of about 18 months of honestly saying to God, just should we be doing this? Should we just be speaking up for Christians? That took us about 18 months. Kind of we went through a whole kind of theological reflection on that. But we came out very, very confident that that's what Jesus would do. That's what the Bible teaches us to do, that we are all made in the image of God. Every one of us are made in the image of God, that we have all been given the freedom to choose. And then you kind of step into the New Testament and you've got this wonderful story of which Vicky spoke about last month or so, about the Good Samaritan, right? And where Jesus redefines the neighborhood. This smart aleck lawyer has come up to him and basically said, kind of love your neighbor. So who's my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this wonderful story, which I won't go into. Go back and listen to Vicky's thing on YouTube or wherever it is. She did a great job. Redefining that neighborhood. Your neighbor is not just the one that looks like you. Your neighbor is the one that you cross the road for. Your neighbor is the one that's the refugee and the homeless. Your neighbor is the person who's showing mercy, and go and do likewise. So today I wanted to introduce you to some of the people we're working with. And I thought I'd use this verse from Thessalonians as our lens, if you like. So we work with a lot of people that experience religious persecution around the world. We work with a lot of Christians. I need to be really careful about how I'm saying this, I'm phrasing it. We work with those that are often called the persecuted church. I'm not a fan, if I'm honest, of that as a label. It's fine as long as we can unpack it and understand that persecuted church isn't just a group of the church worldwide that is there to be prayed for and pitied. Please forgive me if that's in any way offensive. This is a group, this is a church that I have seen just giving so much life. I spoke in a church, I spoke to a load of Christian leaders in Nigeria a year or so ago, and I said, we need your example. The worldwide church needs the example of the church in Nigeria that's experiencing persecution. We need to understand what it means to pray in your circumstances. We need to understand what it looks like to be joyful. Always. We need to understand what it means to be faithful and to endure. Especially, you know, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. So if we're saying that that church is blessed, then we need to be able to look at it and learn from it and value it and rejoice in it. So we're going to use this, if that's okay. So, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. How does that make you feel? Is that good? Challenged? Go on, Jim, you're about to say something. Shout it out. Yeah.
Paul, you know, all the times he was shipwrecked and flogged and stuff like that, and yet in that prison in Rome when he was praying and give thanks, and, you know, that's, you know, we look at it and think, wow, you know, that's Paul, that's not me, but that is us. That is us.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? For me, okay, if I'm being honest, I find that encouragement from Paul really quite tough to hear. Rejoice always. But God, don't you know what I'm going through? Like Jim was saying, Paul wrote this and he was going through shipwrecks and all kinds of stuff that I haven't thankfully experienced. Pray continually. I'm tired. Give thanks in all circumstances. So I'm going to suggest this is probably the fourth time I've tried to use one of these flip charts. And right, we'll see if this works this time. Okay, rejoice always. Our capacity or our propensity to rejoice, I would suggest, certainly in our Western mindset, is governed by two axes. Okay. First axis, which I think is called the X-axis, right? That's that one. Thank you. Are you an Eeyore or are you a Tigger? How's your character? So we got, this is why I hesitate doing this every time. Are you an Eeyore? I get laughed at every time I try and do this. Or are you, this is even worse. He's only got one eye. Or are you a Tigger? Where do you sit on that axis? You've got Eeyore at one side. The glass is half empty, melancholy? Or are you a tigger bouncing out of bed for, he's not even got a mouth, bouncing out of bed in the morning, kind of full of the joys of spring? Are you one of those really annoying people that are full of joy even before your first cup of coffee in the morning? Where do you sit on this line? If I'm honest, I'm probably somewhere, certainly down here towards the Eeyore. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Wherever you sit on this axis is you are loved as you are. You are created as that person. That's your character. My dad, by the way, is an artist. So if this is our character, our propensity towards joy, this is our circumstances. So up here we have, is it a bright, sunny day today for you? It's a cloud. It's a cloud, it's not a flower. Oh, man. Right, so how's today going for you? How's this week? Where do you sit on that axis, your y-axis? How's this morning? Like, it changes, right? It changes depending on what we're going through. And like, if things are going well for you, if you're looking forward to, I don't know, marriage or babies or kind of life and goodness and sun shining, right? So that means we sit up here somewhere. Or maybe for you, you're going through some stuff that's really hard right now. Like, maybe it's financial worries, maybe it's health, maybe it's family. Maybe you're down here. That's okay. God meets you exactly where you are on this graph. Exactly where you are. He knows what you're going through, and he knows who you are, and he meets you here. And it matters. Oh, thanks for putting that up. There were people at the back that didn't think I was that bad. Oh. So it matters. Where you are on that graph matters. Don't dismiss it. Don't ignore it. That's where God will meet you. But it's also entirely irrelevant. It's also entirely irrelevant. When we talk about Paul and his circumstances, his encouragement towards joy wasn't because of where he was at. It was because he was fixing his eyes on Jesus and encouraging us to do the same. And that's what I see in the church around the world. Their circumstances might be here, but they're fixing their eyes on Jesus. And that causes us to throw our eyes up here so that this becomes almost entirely irrelevant. We might be here, we might be here, but if you throw that 100 yards up into the sky, we've all got roughly the same starting point, right? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. This is a church in Cuba. It's a few years old now, this one. I think it's Mario, my friend Pastor Mario's church. We got an email from Pastor Mario on the Friday to say that his church, the government had turned up with bulldozers and were about to destroy his church. This is the photo he sent us on the Monday morning. They had destroyed the church, the bulldozer had come, and they'd even taken away the rubble, so all you're left is the footprint of this building. And they're there praising God. Circumstances didn't matter. We still fix our eyes on Jesus. Cuba, by the way, is one of those countries that we thought was doing really well. I often get asked, where are we seeing signs of encouragement around the world? And Cuba was one of those until about 2021. And then what were emerging signs of progress, of reform, where churches especially were leading that and coming together and praying and protesting, we thought we were going to see change, and then the government have clamped down really hard, and we've seen so many people flee the country since then. So Cuba. Pray continually. This lovely family is two sisters and the baby I met in Mexico in January this year in a region called Oaxaca. These are Zapotec indigenous people from Mexico who were living in exile. The story tends, so they were living in exile because their father had become a Christian and they had converted as well. And eventually they had been thrown out of their town. It's complicated, but what generally happens, just to give you just a huge generalization really, a simplification. Somebody becomes a Christian, their family become Christian, their friends start to become Christian, and then you start to see the church growing, then you see persecution coming. It's when church grows, right, that you see persecution. And that looks like, for them in Mexico especially, you see the electricity and water cut off. You will see, like you saw from Kevin in the video, you're not allowed to go to school anymore. Pastor Rogelio I met said, we lose all rights as soon as we become Christians in the village. And the villages are fairly autonomous states. There are laws in Mexico, as through a lot of Latin America, which protect indigenous rights, which really serve to protect the majority religion. And eventually, when things get so bad, they then get exiled. And this family had been living for 7 years in exile, and couldn't go back home. There's one family, by the way, we met that sounds petty, but the local village elders had come and dumped a ton of concrete in front of their front door, just so they couldn't get out. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are my friends in Nigeria. This is the, such smiles, that's Yunusa, and the chair and vice chair of CSW in Nigeria, dear friends of mine. It's one of my favorite times of the year, getting to go to their board meeting and talking to them. And we have such fun. We laugh and we joke, and it's like, it's good. It's good. And they are so thankful. It's the refrain from Nigeria. We give thanks. I've got a Nigerian finance director, and I ask him, how are you doing? And he responds every time, we give thanks. How are you doing, Shino? We give thanks. How's your wife? We give thanks. How are your kids? We give thanks. There was one time where he had a streaming cold, kind of looked like his face was melting. I said, how are you doing today, Shino? He said, we give thanks. We give thanks. I was speaking at that church, as I said earlier, where I'd arrived in Abuja on a day that a school teacher had been shot dead on the road from Abuja to Kaduna. A pastor had been kidnapped, I believe in Kaduna State, and a church had been burnt down, all on the same day that I'd happened to arrive. Terrorists had been effectively camped around the city of Abuja. The Boko Haram had broken into the prison and set terrorists free. Things are not going well in Nigeria at the moment. And yet, I arrive at this cathedral, which has armed guards on every door. It's big guys with big guns. And I just said to him, I was going, how are you doing today? And guess what he said? We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. Despite, or maybe because of, or maybe circumstances are utterly irrelevant, we fix our eyes on Jesus and we give thanks. I wanted to finish with this story from Myanmar. Myanmar was another one of those countries that we thought were doing well. We've been working on Myanmar for like 25 years. They had somewhat free elections in about 2019. And we thought they were doing well. And then they had a military coup in 2021, which has just plunged them into this humanitarian crisis, where we've seen tens of thousands of people arrested. We've seen thousands and thousands killed. We've seen church buildings destroyed and religious buildings destroyed all over the country. It's an absolute mess. And in the midst of that, we have Reverend Samson, who I met when he came to the UK. He's a Baptist pastor, but is also an outspoken critic of the military regime. He's a great guy. He was arrested for leading a prayer meeting for the opposition party. So he was arrested and then sentenced to 6 years for leading a prayer meeting. The reason why I've got him up there today was when I was prepping this talk on Wednesday, I took these slides down because we'd got news that he'd been freed. I was in a meeting, and we don't often get good news at CSW. So when we do, we celebrate it. So I was in a meeting and got an email flash up on my screen saying Reverend Samson's been released. And I, you know, we stop the meeting, we pray, we give thanks. Like, it's good. And then 3 hours later, they rearrest him. He was released as part of an amnesty where the government released about 3,000 political prisoners in one day. It was their New Year celebration, and they just released a lot of people. So they released Reverend Samson, but they only released him for 3 hours, and they took him back, and I believe his wife is also being detained now as well. It's tough. You know that thing, the Bible verse that in Proverbs, that a hope deferred makes the heart sick? I think it's a crafty technique that the government are using. But we know that Reverend Samson, his hope is not in that military regime or in his country. His hope is in the Lord, right? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is like a tree of life. So please, I'm going to ask you to pray for Reverend Samson. And at CSW, you know, we believe in prayer and action, as we said in that video. We believe that you know, we pray and we campaign. That phrase that's all we can do is pray. There's a time for that, but I much prefer the phrase all we can do now is pray. We do everything we possibly can. You know, we campaign for release. We will take his case to the UN. We take his case to the EU. We're asking you to write to your MPs and get this case up the on people's radar, on their desks. We do everything we can, and we pray. We do both. So please, would you join us? If you can do the QR thing, then do that. I'm going to have a bunch of resourcey stuff at the back as well for you to have a look at. But going to ask you to get into groups and do some praying, if that's okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I would love you to pray for the countries I've mentioned. If you can get into groups of maybe three, four at a push, and pick a country. I've mentioned Nigeria, I've mentioned Mexico, I've mentioned Myanmar, I've also mentioned Cuba. So if you get in groups of three or four, pick a country and pray a blessing. And thank God for that country. Thank God for the church in that country especially. And let's see if we can learn from them. So thank you all so much for your time.